also what we can do in the following 12 months. So let me let's kick this thing off properly now. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Come with me. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Remember this. This is in the New Living Translation. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives... Who gives? My Bible says cheerfully. Cheerfully. Can we do it generously and cheerfully? That'd be good, hey? Oh. And God will generously, this is the part I love. See, God never, if we get this right, and God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scripture says, this is taken from Psalm 112, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never, never, it says, be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. Another title to my message today, apart from the key to abundant living, could have been simply Others. Others. You see, the key to abundant living is others. The master key to abundant living is to live our life focused on others. The most abundant and God-like living we can do is living our life focused on others. Living to give, living to serve, living to bless, and living to share. This is the heart of God. It's the heart of Jesus. And I would go so far as to say that once you really grasp this principle in your life, that you will be much happier in yourself. I would say that you would be less susceptible to bouts of depression because your focus has shifted off yourself and onto others. You're more willing to give whenever an opportunity is given, as the Bible says. And so, in this, we will have a fulfilled life. How do we have a fulfilled life, church? By looking at what we can do for others. And Leap into Spring is not about how much you earn, in that respect, how much you can give, or even what you think you can afford. It's about having a heart to serve God. Having His priority close to your heart, that of others. It is primarily about your faith to trust Him above yourself, above your own circumstances. See, when we get His heart for others, we live way above the things in our life that make us most anxious. We are living in a whole other paradigm, one that is trusting in the Lord. And this is the beauty of this passage of Scripture. And we already know from previous chapter that the Macedonian church, and although they were going through much trouble and hard times themselves, that they determined to give. They were not manipulated, nor were they persuaded. The Macedonian church said to Paul, "We want to give." quite remarkable considering their circumstances. And the Bible says that even Paul was surprised at their fervor. The reason for their fervor, for their choice in serving others in this way, is given in 2 Corinthians in verse 5. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord and to us for whatever directions God might give them. They put themselves entirely at Christ's disposal in the matter. And consequently, says Paul, they gave themselves to us, understanding this to be the will of God. This is the basis for our faith promise cards over the next 12-month period and every 12 months. I doubt we will ever finish this program because there's always more needs than we can fulfill as a church. But how do we do it? You and I first, we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And as we do, we want to see the vision fulfilled through the leadership. We've already discussed that there's plenty of vision. Why is this such an important thing to do, to actually dedicate ourselves to the Lord? Because when you hear from God, or when you hear from a young man like Jared, something happens inside your heart that takes your little bit of faith or your measure of faith and it multiplies, it grows. And you recognize that what you were thinking, God can do more. When you and your spouse hear the same amount, it's actually, did God really speak to you and I exactly the same? Can he do that? He definitely will. No doubt about it. No problems whatsoever for God. So you've got all this week to pray to individually and then come together. What's the amount, Lord? You see, it's what we do with what we have. We all have. We all have. In Australia, every single one of us has. And the Macedonian Christians knew the true meaning of abundant living. There are a lot of Christians who have abundant life through their faith in Christ, but they are not enjoying abundant living. There you are, James. I'm going to come to you in a minute. You see, the master key to abundant Christian living is others. In Mark 10 and verse 42, it says this. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that in this world kings are tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. In other words, Jesus came for others. Jesus came for? The French-German theologian, Dr. Albert Schweitzer, good name, said this, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve. You see, to the degree our life is swallowed up in the service of others is the degree to which we have truly begun to live. The key to abundant living isn't what can I get, it is what can I give. It is how can I share, it is how can I bless. See, shallow, empty living says, what's in it for me? Rich, deep, fulfilled living says, what's in it for others? The author and military person, John Trumbull, said, people who live for self never succeed in satisfying self or anybody else. Our culture says that we must look after number one, but the Bible has a very different view. Jesus is with some of the disciples, and he says this in John 12 and 24. The truth is, a kernel of wheat must be planted in the soil. Who knows what a kernel of wheat is? It's just dry, it's kind of dead looking. It's nothing, right? Really. And unless it dies, it's going to be alone. It's going to be a single seed. That's what the Bible's saying. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. You see, Jesus wasn't actually talking about a kernel of wheat at all. He was talking about their life. He's talking about our life. He is talking about what we do with what we have. A life focused on itself is just like that kernel of wheat. It's small, it's hard, it's bland, it's unfulfilled. And many Christians are like the grain of wheat that is alone. They won't give, they won't share, they won't bless, they won't let go of their pitiful little life. They are Christians, but they're dying of boredom. But we're not like that at C3 Fremantle. We're not dying of boredom. We've got plenty of things to be grateful for. We're grateful for the life that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're grateful for the little that we have or the lot that we have. Whatever our lot in life is, we are grateful because we have the love of God. And we have the love of God like the Macedonian church, and we're prepared to do something with what we've got. It's not about what we don't have. The Bible's clear on that. Don't give away what you don't have and go getting yourself into lots of debt. But what we do have, we can use to benefit others. Yeah. 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 So who'd like to see? I was talking with Prince since we were looking at him earlier, Emma. And when I was there, how long ago was it, Graham? A year ago, was it? Something like that. Wherever he is, Steve, about a year ago, about that. Anyway, so we're over there and Prince is in the wheelchair because, well, he climbed up a coconut tree to get some coconuts for his village and fell down. And so he probably, if he was in Australia, he'd probably be fixed, to be honest. Didn't sound that serious, but he's in Liberia, out in the jungle. Hardly a road to get into this little place we went to. Anyhow, I'm not going to mess up the story that I've got a bit later, guys. It's okay. And he was just saying to me that he felt like he's... Now, these guys have got nothing except what they live off the land. He just said to me, you know what? I was living in this other town, but I heard about all these kids in this village. And I said, you know what? I can teach them. I can't do much else now, but I can teach them. Oh, I tell you, it brings a tear to my eye. See, he's giving what he has. Now, let me just pause the recording for a moment, if you don't mind, Dave. Is that okay? Tell me when you're done. Recording back on. Thanks, guys. Tell me when it's on. All good? Thanks. You see, the heart of Leap into Spring is found in this book of Philippians. Philippians 2:5 says this. Your attitude, everyone say the word attitude, should be the same that Christ Jesus had. It is easy to think of this in an overcoming or victorious way, but in the context of this passage, Jesus was laying himself down for others. Jesus poured out. His willingness to leave heaven, to limit himself to a human body, to die for men's sins on the cross, the mind of serving and giving us this kind of questions every day. How can I die for somebody else? What can I give up or lay down for somebody else? James, I said I'd get to you. You're still here. Let's give James a hand over here on the... You can do security from inside the building today. I was over at James and Susan Pitar's house praying for little Joshua, the cutest little baby I've seen in a very long time. a few weeks back. And we already know that baby Joshua is going to be a blessing, and James actually has already told Andrew and I that little Joshua, how old's Joshua now? About 5 weeks old. About 5 weeks old, he's going to be a pastor of C3. I'm glad you're here. This makes it much more fun. Now, some friends of the Petars were at the house visiting when I was there. I went before Wellard one evening, and I was just alone, just myself. And James looks at his friends and looked at me and said, "Nigel is a Liberian." And his friends kind of looked strangely at me, looked me up and down. What is James been smoking? And then he proceeded to say how that Pastor Nigel and two other men from church had driven through the notorious roads and gone out to Gorloo. And they looked at me and said, "You've been to where? Gorloo?" And I said, "Yes, I've been to Gorloo." And he still wasn't quite sure. And James said, "I'm telling you, he's Liberian." Anyway, long story short, I started to describe the town, Lormatown, where you just saw Prince and the new sponsorship that we're going to do at this school. And it was hardly a road to get there, and we almost lost a car in a creek on the way through. It was a lot of fun for men. Not a girl's trip, I can assure you. Anyway, Pastor Collie was trying to convince me not to go. He's trying to say, "Go, please, Pastor, stay in the hotel. You can have your chicken and rice there. I'm not sure what you're gonna eat if you go to the town." And we looked at each other, the three of us, Steve was there, and we said, "Let's go." And so we go to this tiny little hut. I'm not sure if we've got a picture of this little hut or not. And we went to this there. That, yeah, was that it? That's the school. But anyway, there's a little round hut where I and Graham and Steve actually slept. And, once we'd finished describing this story to the friends that were at the Petars, they go, "You're a Liberian." It's so good that we are actually the same spirit when we have Christ in us. Yeah. We share with one another. It's an incredible thing. And yes, we pray that little Joshua becomes a C3 pastor too. In Jesus' name. Thanks, James. You see, we could have said, "Let's stay at the hotel." It was this beautiful lime green building in the middle of nowhere. I guess it was the only paint they had around. I don't know. We must break free from selfishness. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Break free from selfishness." You see, the spirit of the world says, "The more I get, the more I've got." But Jesus says, "The more you give, the more you've got." And the world says, "Come on now, build your nest egg of security." But Jesus says, "Why don't you just climb up here into my nest and I'll take care of you." You see, prosperity has nothing to do with how much you make. You can live broke at any level of income. Come on. I used to know some pretty wealthy people, and some of them are living pretty broke. See, prosperity is being secure in your source. Let me say that one more time, because in case you haven't got it. Prosperity is being secure in your source. See, if the bank is your source, who knows that there's going to be some trouble down the track? Who knows that we have a currency that fluctuates like crazy? It changes value every day. If your job is your source, well, quite frankly, it's not that secure. But if God is your source, you're secure. And so many of us have a slice of pie mentality. And I know we need budgets. Don't please go outside. And Nigel said, "Give everything." I'm just But let me say this. There's the grocery slice. There's the kids' new shoes slice. There's the tax slice. There's the tithe slice. There's a new dress slice. There's a sports or hobby slice. And we end up cutting pieces so thin that you can see through them. What about this paradigm? My father is the baker. Say it with me. My father is the baker. I was down at Yelling Up. I loved it down there, and they have this Yelling Up wood-fired place, and Andrew and I walk in, and there's just bread. If my father's the baker, I can have as much bread as I want. I love warm bread. How good is warm bread? See, if God and his unlimited resources are your source, then you can live to give because you're secure in your source. This is the reason why the Macedonians could give. They knew their source. If God is your source, you can live to bless. Let Jesus fill you with a heart for others. One more time, let Jesus fill you with a heart for. Amen. See, the real joy and excitement in living comes in giving. It was Jesus who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What about this one? How much have you got? But I think God is saying, "How much have you given?" The end of our life, not how much you have won, but how much have you done? Not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed? Not how much you were honored, but how much have you served? You see, my God shall supply all my needs. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs. All right. Let me start to just put this together. You have to give and share with others. This is actually my second point, guys. I know it took a while to get there. See, the Western world is in a race to see what more we can accumulate before we die. But you never see a trailer behind a hearse. Some of you just... You got that? In the book of Revelation in chapter 3, the Laodicean church was rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. That's what she said. She had everything she could desire was there. This was a church. But she forgot why she had it. She forgot why she had it. And a great deal of church is dressed up with nowhere to go. All dressed up, but no sense of destiny. Why are we so blessed? Why have we been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why have we been given so much? There's a story in 2 Kings 6:24 about a couple of lepers. And as was the custom of the day, lepers couldn't go into the normal city. So they had to stay out the city gates, and this is in Samaria, and it was a huge time of famine, and the Ammonites had caused them to have no food, and it was pretty bad because even they were selling cups of dove dung. Now, I don't know if I'd like to eat dove dung, but when things get really bad, you'll sell anything to keep yourself alive. So it's pretty bad. And these guys are standing around. Well, they're probably just sitting around, actually. But anyway, these couple of guys are looking at each other and they go, "Let's go across. You know what? We're going to die here anyway. A few more days, we're going to be dead. There's no food. They're not giving us any scraps because they haven't got any food to eat inside the town. So let's go across to the enemy's camp and let's maybe they'll be favorable on us, and if not, well, we'll die, and we're going to die anyway. And as they arrive, get close to the camp, a huge roar comes from heaven, like chariots of fire. This massive big roar goes out. The enemy camp gets so scared, they completely just run and bail. They're killing each other. They're killing everything in sight. They just get out of there. And so these two fellas walk in, and they look around and they go, funny, there's no one here. Look at all this food. And they literally gorge themselves. There's just food on the tables. There's a huge big pig on a spit, and they just start eating at it. There's a lamb roast, and they just start devouring it. There's all this food and delicacies that they've never actually seen, because they're lepers. They only get the scraps. And then they look around and they start dressing each other in the finest clothes. They've got all this modern fashion now. And then there's all this silver and gold in all their boxes at the enemy camp. And then they're so loaded up with stuff and bling that they can hardly walk because they can't carry it. And then one of them looks at each other. What are we going to do with all this stuff? We've got all this. And then suddenly the lights come on. They go, we have to go and tell the palace. We have to go and tell our people. And so suddenly they went from, this is all about me, to, no, I know why we've been put in this position. We've been put in this position so that we can help others. And so they go back, and there's actually been a prophecy about it, and no one believed it, especially the king's commander. Well, he ended up getting trampled in the rush. You see, when we put our faith in God, anything is possible. Things can turn around in an instant. I want to tell you one more story as we close this morning. Moses goes up a mountain. He goes up to Mount Sinai. You see, before I get there, the reason why we have Leap into Spring, we have what we have, is to give and to share with. You know, the Israelites finally left Egypt. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron during the night. Just said, leave us. We've had enough. But as they left, they took an incredible amount of wealth. They basically took all the wealth of the Egyptians. And so God blessed his people. And we know what they had when they finally left Egypt. And all the plagues had finished. But why did they have it? And the answer is found in Exodus 24. God called Moses up to the top of Mount Sinai. And Moses is in the glory of God for 40 days. And now when Moses gets down from being with God, it's got to be good, right? It's got to be amazing. I mean, Moses must be getting something from God really good for us. Wouldn't you say? Moses, what is God saying? And we find it in Exodus 25, verse 1, where it says, bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly, with his heart, you shall take my offering. Moses has been up with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights, and God tells him to bring him an offering. And here's something from this story that you may miss. Their offering would build the Ark of the Covenant. God's literal and physical presence would dwell between the wings of the two cherubim on top of the Ark. The priests would pick up the Ark of the Covenant and carry it on their shoulders. They would carry the ark of his presence. I'm not sure you're getting this right now. You see, when we bring our offerings, when we submit to God's rule in our life, we carry his presence in greater measure on our lives. The atmosphere is going to change over our life as we bring our miracle offerings next week. the atmosphere, because we are no longer just submitting ourselves to our will, but to the will of God. And we are carrying the presence of God. We are carrying the presence of God to transform families. We are carrying the presence of God to transform relationships. We are carrying the presence of God to transform that area at work that we don't know how to change. But God is the greatest miracle worker of all. And when we give Him the heart, that His heart is, you give to me and I will show you a way through any situation. Oh my goodness. And so leap into spring. Who's looking forward to next weekend? Yeah. We literally carry God's presence into every nation that we are involved in. So it comes on us. I don't know, but there's no greater force than the force of the living God. And we have Him. When we bring an offering like this, it's saying, you know what? Nothing else really matters. Like the Macedonian church. Our destiny is to partner with God through our giving and bring His presence into the nations that need it most. What you have in your life, it is for the glory of God. So I'd encourage you to take this faith promise card. And if you're a husband and wife here, spouses, pray together. I would encourage us as individuals, as young adults, whatever it is. And you know, what is God saying? Because, you know, I believe that when we put our faith into action, God's able to do something remarkable in our lives. Let's pray. Let's stand up, please, this morning. Father God, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for this act, Lord, that we're going to do together next weekend. I thank you that as we bring an offering, Father, that we're going to hear of remarkable things that you're going to do. Miraculous things, Lord. And Lord, we know first and foremost that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And we thank you, Lord, that what we have is for others and not just for ourselves. And we pray the blessing of God on our lives today in the mighty name of God. Of Jesus. Just while we're standing here, maybe your heart has not been for God. Maybe it has not been for others. I'd love us to pray a prayer together before we close and invite Jesus into our hearts or recommit our life. Can we do that together, church, right here, right now? If you'd like to accept Jesus as Lord of your life, or today,